What a glorious day in Columbus, Ohio. Welcome into the Horseshoe Lounge at Roosters. It's a fun, casual joint, and it feels like spring, just in time for spring football to be over.
That's just in time.
Just in time. Justin Zwick, Bobby Carpenter. There's no pun for that one right now.
My dad made it just in time to see me be born. That's where I got my name.
Love it. Beautiful. Oh. This is Nicole Cox, and I am Austin Ward. Spring game, spring camp, it's all wrap. Bobby, what did you think? What was your first impression when you left the Horseshoe on Saturday?
Oh, how much I love the power. Full house backfield. Woody Hayes, get a steady dose.
Mr. Hayes.
People ask how you're going to use both Travion and Quinshon. That's it right there. The full house backfield.
Just first really, snap of the game.
Yeah, hogging it in there. Some you like the spins on the shift and everything else. Got all these tight ends. You got Bill Kazmaier's son in there. I mean, he's out there mauling dudes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, outside of that, the tribute, I heard someone like, well, they didn't have anything cool like Archie last year. I'm like, what do you want them to bring back? Like, exhume, like, Vic Janowitz? I mean, like, Archie's the guy. Let's get Hopalong out there. I think he's still alive, but not in great health. And maybe he did pass away recently. I know he used to go on the cruise a lot, but he was not in great health for a while. Like, that's the perfect tribute. And it shows, like, Chip is a... He is a student of football history, loves to run the rock, did a great job at the coach's clinic talking about the stretch play.
Fantastic job.
How much he loves to run stretch into the boundary. It's Schlegs' favorite play.
Can't wait to see.
Maybe he didn't say that.
Didn't exactly say it that way. But he said there are a bunch of different ways you can run stretch. You don't have to just run it out of pistol and into the boundary.
Yeah, I mean, he's got
hey, all right.
I think what we learned is the defensive backs are really good. Mm-hmm. Very good secondary, and everybody saw the highlights, you know, and all the plays the receivers made. You get in a game where it's windy, and it was very windy on Saturday. It's tough for the quarterbacks to throw, especially young guys, and like that may have been the worst environment Julian Sands ever played a football game in.
Probably.
I mean, the guys from the West Coast, like, he's already played. I was talking to the coaches, I'm like, when you're throwing in the woody every day, and then basically where you grew up is indoors, because it's Southern California, like, it's going to be easy. You get a nice 25-mile crosswind, that seven round all of a sudden takes a nosedive, and it's tough. And so I think we saw how good they were. The young quarterbacks, there's a little work needs to be done, that right side of the offensive line. They're trying, man. They had Tegra Shibola in their guard. Mm-hmm. Someone's like, why do they keep jamming Fryer in a tackle? I'm like, because they're just trying to figure out who can play beside him.
I think he is the best tackle. Like, that's just where they're going.
He is. And so, like, then who can be the best guard?
Yeah.
He's probably the best guard, but they don't have a best tackle. So that's the problem that they're trying to, like, figure out. So, you know, I think you saw that. Some of the linebackers' defense played pretty well. Young running backs. I thought Mr. Peeps, my Peeps, and then wasn't the Sam Williams Dixon. I thought he looked pretty good.
And a healthy T.C. Caffey.
Yeah, and Caffey. Like, so everybody was worried about Dallin leaving, and not that he's not a loss, but I was really impressed with how those young guys were able to come out and step up. And honestly, for Sam Williams Dixon, because I saw him in high school, and I thought he might have a little bit more maturation to go like before he's ready to play, and he's looked really good all spring. So I think they're pretty happy with where that room's at.
Jay-Z, how are those Mott sticks?
Delicious. You see the string?
Yeah.
You know. I got to get just to show how gooey it is when it comes out. Like, you know, every time they're here.
That's right. They're delicious. Goo right on your face.
Did you know that on Tuesday, they're $3 at Roosters?
What?
Oh, yeah.
$3 on Tuesday?
Not $3 per Mott stick. $3 for a full basket.
Appetizer three steak.
Come on, get in here.
Tuesdays.
$3 for that. Plate of deliciousness.
And you got the marinara sauce.
Well, I know. That's the one I didn't dip it because, you know, the whole you don't double dip.
It's okay. That's your bag.
They have three different containers.
When Berm comes over, you just never know where he's going
to
go.
I think Berm would love to share your juices.
You know he's going to put the hot sauce on there.
Fair enough.
Like a weirdo.
I mean, you're basically, you put the marinara on there. You're 90% of the way to a full meal right there.
100%.
You get the cheese. You get the sauce. I mean, it's a pizza.
They're classic. They're classic, too. They just make you feel good.
Here's the thing. I mean, we need to probably find a way, Nicole, on that menu, which is robust and large and packed with opportunities. A Mott's and Tots, some sort of combo, shareable.
It rolls off the tongue.
It really does.
You throw some cheese on top of it, bake it a little bit, and
Mott's inside of ranch.
Wait, you need, Jay-Z, you want cheese on top of your Mott's?
So you're putting Tots on there, and you're going to make a plate of it. You just make a wild plate of cheese and cheese and Tots.
You should order the Rooster's Nest and then just put some mozzarella sticks in there.
Maybe that might be an addition.
Use the Mott's stick as a fork.
That's it's like that's basically talking. A lick of color. Then we're gonna eat sugar with the sugar. Yeah. I love it.
Yep.
I'm gonna have a full relapse here soon. Jay-Z, what did you think on Saturday?
I thought it was a spring game.
Yeah, it was. You're not excited
like
about it.
I feel like I wish I would have seen the older guys a little bit more. Once that second half came, it was just kind of
over.
Yeah. I wish they would have maybe. I know the wind stunk, but
I think
they're going to have to play into that. You know, and I think there was a part of it where it was like, all right, well, we do have this wind.
Throw it a couple picks.
We don't want our main two guys to go out there and maybe not look the best, you know, in this wind and everything else going on, you know, with Will being new and just having 15 practices under his belt now. You know, I think there's probably something where, all right, we're going to keep it safe here. We just want to go out, be in control of the offense, you know, make whatever checks they need to or, you know, make the throws that we call. But it would have been fun just to see because they're going to have to, if it's windy against Northwestern or it's windy against somebody else, we're going to have to do it.
The last week of the regular season, perhaps.
Yes. Yeah, so, could be windy. So I would have liked to maybe have tested them a little bit more in that scenario, but I kind of understand why they probably didn't.
Can we take so much abuse, Justin?
Well, listen, I understand from a guy who's been through some stuff in spring games. Like, I get not wanting to go out there and have that happen to those guys.
Leave with the confidence high and still intact.
Exactly. And then you have your fans who are somewhat confident instead of saying, oh, man, what happened here? Blah, blah,
threw
blah.
Seven picks in spring game.
You know, so I wish we'd have seen more of them. The young guys looked young. You know, to your point, I don't know if it was a seven that saying through, but he threw one and was kind of short hopped it to – Jaden on the sideline, and that's even when on the broadcast, like, it's really windy out here. Mm-hmm. And on that next throw, he goes, and you could see he put a little bit more into it, and it was still kind of got hung up and ended up getting intercepted. So, I mean, you could tell the wind was there, but I would have liked to seen them have to deal with that a little bit more. Now, granted, the secondary looks amazing. There wasn't much space for those receivers, it didn't seem. So that's a positive. We've heard so much about them and how great they are and how they're going to be. So as long as they can stay healthy, I think we're good there. Defensive line, I thought maybe had you know, a couple guys that popped. Mm-hmm. And Mitchell Melton to me was one that looked really, really good. So that's nice to see. CJ Hicks, I thought, played really well at linebacker. It's tough for me. I don't even, Bob, maybe you can talk to this, but you know, I saw a couple where, you know, Sonny maybe came up to take on the block, but knew they weren't going full and maybe didn't go in, you know, take that block on as maybe he would in a real game. So how hard is that for you guys?
It's
you
tough know? Because like you're not supposed to tackle and then you're like hitting a lead.
And you have
blocker.
A lineman coming at you and you can't go full speed into him.
Because in a game, like you'd hit down and try to like come off and make a tackle. Whereas this, you're like, all right, I'm going to fit up.
I'm not bringing him down, so I can't really do it. So, I mean, so maybe some of that plays into to some of those. And they're not like there were a ton of them. Mm-hmm. You know, overall, I think we came out pretty healthy, right?
Yep.
Which is really all that matters. You know, we got a lot of time this spring.
The training room was empty after the game.
That's the number one goal.
That's great. So maybe we, you know, stay healthy throughout the summer. I think we're in a really good spot.
Nicole, what's in the notebook?
Well, a few things. Okay. So first, I think we need to talk about 80,000 people showed up for the spring game.
80,000.
Isn't that incredible?
We buried the lead. Thank you, Nicole.
Yes, that is very good. Well done, Buckeye Nation.
It is. It's incredible. And I think it was really neat too. Like Chip Kelly, he mentioned at the event we had on Saturday night, that he's said, I've never been to a spring game where 80,000 people come. So
he said, this was our season attendance last year.
At so UCLA.
He walked up into the post game room and I went over to talk to him and he got that number. And I was like, what was the most you ever had at UCLA? And he looked at me and just laughed. And I said, oh, okay. So not 80,000. Like UCLA wasn't even
two
drawing
teams
that
in the same city.
In the Rose Bowl.
And you still could.
They weren't doing that combined for those two teams for spring games. They do not care.
I think it's great. I just think it's a great first impression for him. I think it's us like welcoming him here, which then in turn gets him excited for the season even that much more. Mm-hmm. You know, just to realize like how strong Buckeye Nation is. And it was the most beautiful day. I mean, it was perfect. They even had Fan Fest set up like a normal game day, which felt... It just was exciting. Yeah. Like, okay, this is going to be here before we know it.
And parking was free. I mean,
Wow, parking was free.
Yeah. It was.
They said, I mean, if you get that, I mean, it's...
Man. Which,
yeah.
They may need to think about that. There was a lot of parking. My understanding is that could make it a little more complicated if everyone is looking free for all and don't have anywhere specifically to go.
There needs to be some order is what you're saying, huh?
my problem was, is I was like, do I head closer to the shoe or risk. Do I park at the shot? Yeah. And I was, so I parked at the shot and then we go to walk up. I was like, there are a ton of open spots over here. Now, Lane Avenue traffic was like just dead stop traffic. Yeah. So, but it was, I just, the vibe that just everybody being
was
there
nice,
and coming out.
It was sunny.
Oh, it was just a great support for the team. I loved that it was also broadcasted on Fox. It was.
Well, it hurt the defense.
What do you mean?
They couldn't return the interceptions for touchdown because Fox got the cameraman out there.
Yeah. What was that? Like, he's
yeah,
like, we're playing.
I was getting kind of confused on
I
that.
I love they ran it back anyway.
They're like, no, I'm going all the way.
I had thousands of dollars on the defense winning the scrimmage and was ruined by Fox. Like, now I'm broke.
It was funny. They were like, the whistle was blown, but it's okay. We're still giving them points. But it was just neat to see them broadcast the show. And they even said, they're like, well, this is kind of new for us, you know, so it was just neat to like hear from the coaches during the game.
No.
It was so neat.
The look behind like Ryan Day where he's sitting there, people always want inside access and it's like, you're not getting anything better than that. Yeah. The head coach telling you, hey, we're running this play right here. Got to get it out quicker. We're looking for the seam.
Yeah. Can't take a sack. And then he took one and he's like yelling at him. He kind of sees the camera come around. And he's like, can't have it, guys.
but that's the literally, the cardinal rule in 2 minutes, no sacks. Yeah. No, they'd rather throw an interception, at least end the game. Yeah. The sack, you're just going to bleed to death while everybody's trying to run back. And so, like, talking about the reads, and then you have him over there with Jim Knowles, and you're talking about the one, because I've never been a true fan of, like, the one-word calls for everything, but they talk about how it originated to keep up with the no-huddle, and you know, he's, like, talking to him, he's like, Ohio. You know, like, puts it back down to get the call in, and people are like, well, they're hearing stuff. It's like two or three things. No one knows what it means. And Ryan Day telling someone what the read key is on an RPO. If the defensive coordinator, they don't know that.
Yeah,
then
guys. This guy comes in the box. They're going to replace him.
They have an idea of what's going on. So there wasn't any proprietary stuff being leaked right there. But it was a great, like, look inside. His interaction with the players, the coaches, Jim Knowles. Great turnout of, like, former Buckeyes that were there. You saw Zeke cruising around. Ward, Okuda. Yeah. I mean, it's everything you want.
It was. It was great. And I also just thought it was nice to see. I know we didn't get to see Will Howard and Devin Brown, but I thought just for, you know, saying that for these young guys to get this practice, they need it. Like, and it was close. It was similar to a game vibe with 80,000 people in there. Mm-hmm. So you could see on their faces, like, just them taking it all in, trying to figure it all out, and the wind. Like, we talked about that with CJ at the OSU-Michigan game about how I was like, he's from California. Like, he was freezing, and I know.
And he's got the flu.
The standard is the standard. There's no excuse, but.
It sounds like she's mocking
that
him.
That is a fact.
A little bit. A little sarcasm.
A little. I didn't mean to be rude. I just, you know.
Oh, so rude.
Well, I guess I did kind of mean to be rude, but I. But those are just facts. I mean, those are things that have to be taken into consideration that these kids are not familiar with. So they need to get as much practice as they can.
Exactly. I'm much happier that it happened today it happened on Saturday as opposed to that happening sometime in the fall in a critical game where I've never really thrown in environment and elements like this. And all of a sudden you're in a game that it's going to be, it's an impact. So. Mm-hmm. Now you understand that the only way to get experience in elements is you've got to get out there in them. Mm-hmm. And so now, you know, getting a little bit of this, and there was some little bit of rain. They stayed mostly inside during the spring, but they'll continue to grow and make sure those young guys get to experience that. Because to your point, I mean, there's an expectation there. Ryan doesn't care, and you've got to be able to go perform in this. So we need to get you practicing it. I'm not going to tell you to go do something that we're not practicing, but you get those experiences in it. Now you know.
The standard is just that you have to, these kids are learning. And as long as that's taken into consideration, that's what I loved so much about the spring game. For fans even to see, they kept saying on Fox, this is a chance for these kids to learn. Like, this is what this game is for. And I love that because then it's kind of a reminder, like, these are kids. They are young. They need, and this is their first experience with 80,000 fans, some of them. So, also, I thought it was a great little reminder of how awesome Emeka is with that one-handed catch.
Hey, sometimes you got to let the young folks
remember.
They'd forgot.
I told them. Oh, there's a lot of Jeremiah talk going on here. Let me go ahead and whoop.
Gotcha.
I said that after the game. Like, there's no person on this team that cares less about Jeremiah Smith getting attention than Emeka.
He's awesome. Yep.
But I think he did want to sign.
You got to make sure they remember. Yeah, just a little reminder in your phone as a note. Emeka Buka, good receiver, too.
Oh, my gosh. And he is so sweet. He's because he guy. Was talking Jeremiah Smith up during his interview. Oh, yeah, it's so neat to see that for as competitive as these guys are, just to see that they know when to be a team. But that catch,
it was a highlight catch.
Incredible. So it's like, oh, we're glad you're back, Emeka. Yeah. Thank you for coming back.
It looked like he got two.
It was good at the next level.
Yeah.
Bob, they also had the benefit. They did go outside on Friday morning for the 14th penultimate practice of spring camp, and that was cold and windy. So a little bonus. They spent the first
on Friday.
Friday was freezing and not too enjoyable for anybody to be out there, but another opportunity for Julian Say and for Aaron Nolan to get a look at something that they haven't experienced before. So they crammed all that in right before they convene for summer. Now we've got a long road ahead. But before we get into that offseason, Nicole, you have a Roosters Buckeye leaf to give out.
Oh.
You got to pick one now.
I know.
You wanted to put them all into your notes.
I know this is kind of obvious, but I'm going to pick Emeka because of his interview. I loved how... You know, she was asking him questions about him, the team, and he just was just talking up Jeremiah Smith. And you could tell, I think he didn't want to speak, be interviewed, which I totally get. That's not for everyone. And so he kind of just helped him along and like kind of talked for him. And that catch, it just was like, everybody was like shocked because they were talking about something else. They're like, whoa. Yeah, yeah. So I'm going to give it to Emeka and for him coming back too. I don't know. I think it's just so great for the team for him to be a leader.
It's a big deal. Jay-Z?
Well, I'm going to give mine to Tegra.
Okay.
This is in the couple series where he was at guard. Now, granted, I can't remember exactly what defense they were going against. It's really hard on the TV copy to get numbers and all that good stuff. But I felt like they kind of got it together when he was in there.
Like that was the best five.
Yeah, that's kind of how I felt leaving the day. I was surprised that we didn't see McLaughlin go to guard at all, just to see what that might look like with maybe Hensman at center. But the couple series when Tegra was in there, I thought, hey, this could be an offensive line. They looked like they were getting some movement and they were able to move the ball down the field a little bit. So I'm going to go with him because that right side of that, they need a little confidence over there. So if you're listening, you get my Buckeye leaf, but you got to keep it going.
Got to keep going. Yeah, all right. A little carrot and the stick at the same time. Motivation.
Exactly.
Ooh, this is good. I mean, I've listened to some good suggestions here. I'd probably give mine to Sam Williams-Dixon. I thought he played really well. One of the freshmen, maybe even him, Peoples, like both of those guys, I thought did a really good job. And it was a little bit unexpected. And there's going to be an increased level of pressure now placed upon them, given the fact that Dallin Hayden is gone. And so do they get in the portal? Is there someone even there that's worth it that you think would be better than those guys? But they showed their aptitude to be able to run the ball, find the holes, tough runners, all the physical elements. Now it's going to be, can you make sure that you're good enough in pass pro? And can you make sure you know what you're doing? Let's pick up.
We didn't have any balls in the ground, right? And the young guys?
No, and there was no fumbles. And that was live. Yeah, I mean, they were getting hit.
There was a fumble early on, a botched
exchange. That was a botched exchange. But, yeah, I mean, the young guys held on to it, took care of it like they should. So that's good to see.
Berm's prediction that there were going to be fumbles. You know, he crushed it.
The thud fumbles.
The thud fumbles.
And that's what it was. I think it was.
They weren't going live.
Oh, yeah. At that point, no.
Fumbled a match.
Bad exchange.
Yeah. No, that's a good one. All right. I really think Calvin Simpson-Hunt deserves some credit. He's often overlooked by me personally when I talk about that top three rotation with Jermaine Matthews, Denzel Burke, and Dave Senigbenosin. A reminder of what Calvin Simpson-Hunt can be. At corner as well, not just as the maybe fourth guy, but a starter at this time next year, likely, with Denzel Burke and Davison Igbinosin gone. So that's important for the future. And you mentioned Jay-Z, Mitchell Melton. I think he was so impactful in that situation on Saturday, 2 years removed from the devastating injury in the same situation in the spring game. You can tell that he's now back at that level where Jim Knowles was spending his first spring saying, well, the jack position is Mitchell Melton's, and like nobody else is even in the conversation. Like Mitchell Melton helping the pass rush. It's taken him a long time to get back to that level. Bob, you've seen probably some of the work that he's had to go through to come back. And he mentioned to me a week or two ago, it's like, yeah, some people, I don't think, understand the severity of the injury. Some people don't play football again after this.
Yeah.
It's a big deal.
He's had multiple injuries, and he looked good. He flashed out there on Saturday. I was very happy for him that he, number one, played well, and number two, made it through the spring healthy again. So we've got another training camp for him to make it through this year, and I hope that it does, because I want to see him be able to have all the success that he should.
Yeah, it's a long time coming. All right, Nicole, what's going on at Roosters for the rest of the week?
So it's April. We just have our appetizer Threesday, which is great.
The best. Top of the power rankings.
Weather's beautiful. Patios are opening up.
Ooh, yeah.
And yeah, so just come. And all the sporting events. I know, like, in our area of town, we're always at Roosters after the 1 million spring games going on right now.
Yeah. It's the best place to go afterwards.
It is. It's fun. We love it.
I won't name the specific recruit or commit, but their family was in town and said, well, I said, where'd you go to eat on Friday night? Well, we watch the show all the time. We wanted to go to Roosters.
Let's go.
Friday night at Roosters. We got to go hang out there and see the lounge.
They loved it. They did.
So I'll let you know who that might have been later on. But they said they loved it. Good. Couldn't have been happier. And it felt like, you know.
Oh, I'm so glad.
So I can't wait to tell Nicole and make her smile and not tell her in advance so that you can catch the live reaction on the show. All right, we're going to take a quick break in here. We're going to bring Berm in and keep talking about the Ohio State spring game and what's next when we roll along at Roosters. It's a fun casual joint.
Roosters has been so fortunate. We just want to be able to give some of that back to the community.
They donate to organizations that are near and dear to their heart, and we're so fortunate to have been with Roosters now for a long time.
They always go above and beyond to help support our foundation to further help veterans.
It's just a wonderful feeling to know that Roosters supports the Buckeye Crews for Cancer.
All the folks at Roosters are just genuinely kind folks, and they want to make a difference.
Thank you, Roosters Foundation.
Thank you, Roosters.
Thank you, Roosters.
Thank you, Roosters Foundation.
Welcome back into the Horseshoe Lounge at Roosters, and Berm is here. He's got thoughts on the spring game.
Do I? Do you?
I think you've got a lot of stuff rattling around in that.
Where do I need to start?
I mean, you can start all the way at the Coaches Clinic on Thursday night. It's a full, robust weekend,
full
Berm.
Weekend. Coaches Clinic is the best.
Let's start with my Buckeye Leaf, I guess, since we'll, you know, rotate. We'll go through, like, it'll be like the
You're going to schlig it up?
It's like the snake, you know, like, you know, when you do a fantasy draft, snake draft, you have to snake it. Like, you guys ended with that, so now we have to begin with that, right?
Sure.
Sounds good.
Perfect analogy.
Thank you. Crushed it. Thank you. I've been working on those quite a bit. I think it's got to be Aaron Oland for the Buckeye Leaf. Again, I talked about it after the game, snap judgments, but there's been a lot of things going on around Aaron Oland that are not really public knowledge, and it's not really our business to talk about, and I won't say any more than that. But, like, for the kid to persevere for these last few months and put himself in a position where on a day when it was hard to throw the football, he seemed to do a pretty good job doing. I mean, he had one throw off, you know, early that looked ugly. You're like, ooh, that's not great. But all the talk in the last 3 weeks has been about Julian Sain, and he has sort of been relegated to the other. Like, yeah, we've got these four quarterbacks, and then there's Aaron Oland, and we'll see what happens. And for him, I thought it was the best performance of anything we've seen out of him this spring. Yeah. And to be able to do that in the Horseshoe with 80,000 people there, it says a lot about him and what he's you know, able to deal with. And hopefully, I mean, I don't know what it means for his future. I don't understand why anyone suggests he's transferring or anything like that. I think it's
silly. Interesting about the portal.
Been there for 3 months.
Yeah. Unless they name Julian Sain the starter tomorrow, like, why would you?
And I don't believe, Bob, that they're going to do that.
I don't
that.
Think that's the case. Like, you have a guy who potentially could win the job who has 1 year left, or Devin Brown may have, maybe has two. So it's not like this is some.
But does taking the stripe off make you feel like they said, we've seen you two, this is our, you know, no, so quick.
To allude to what Berm has said, there's a lot of stuff that he had going on, and the fact that he was playing in the spring game at a high level, I thought was
even
pretty impressive.
At all.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
And I think the other, Bob brings this up a lot. Like, the guys know in the locker rooms. Like, Julian Sain was playing at a level to take that black stripe off, and from what we had seen through the first two-thirds of camp, Aaron Oland was not. I think that's why it's worth pointing out that the last week was so encouraging for him, the last day specifically. Like, maybe that will help him if there was something that's thinking, well, oh, gosh, they do like Julian more than me. Well, the last week is a, you know, maybe you can give it a go in and have Chip Kelly remove that black stripe tomorrow. I don't know, because the way you played in the spring game probably won't happen that way. But, you know, he got a reminder and an example that he can still do the same things that Julian Sayin did.
Yeah.
He just didn't do it at the same time frame.
Air did not come to Ohio State with any belief that he was going to be the starting quarterback this season. And despite the fact that there was a lot of people saying, oh, he's going to be the best player, like, because recruiting does that for people. Because
you do that.
I've said that. No, it's not me.
You're the hype master.
Jeremiah Smith, yes. Everyone else, no. Edric Houston, maybe now a little bit, yes.
Uh-oh, here we go.
Well, we got another one.
But it's so rare, and especially at quarterback, it is impossible nearly. And I think it's just very important for Air to have that moment to understand, I belong here, and hopefully that propels him forward to an important summer.
Jay-Z, you talked about the amount of reps and how we all, I think, would have liked to see more of Will Howard and Devin Brown. What does it mean that two drives were all that those guys needed to head into the summer? Like, where do you think this battle really sits right now?
I think it's between those two, which is why that second half was just all young guys and let them go after it. The issue with that is I feel like we are almost comparing two guys who are very, very similar in their quarterback play. You know, Devin last year was the one who was going to be the athletic one and run around. Kyle didn't have that. Well, this year, Will has that. So does Devin. Will just has, I think, the experience. So I think it's between those two, and I think Devin has played well. I mean, in the times I've seen him at the practice, you know, he's thrown some nice balls. He does look like he has come a long way. But the experience, having a guy who's played 4 years, who's been out there, who's done – you know, that sort of thing is just going to be hard for him to overcome, I think. But I do believe it's between those two guys. I think they're probably leaning towards Will, seeing if Devin does anything crazy here, you know, going into camp to make them say, oh, hold on now, we might have something here.
As we recorded the podcast daily on Sunday night, I was lamenting the fact that we didn't see more of Devin and Will and maybe just letting them throw it around a little bit more. I understand the rationale was because it was not a good day for throwing, and it could have led to people maybe getting a bad impression or the wrong impression. And then I was feeling like conflicted on should I be annoyed by this or not. And then I saw a tweet about like 30 minutes after we were done where it was a 2.5 minute long video of Drew Aller's passes in the spring game at Penn State. And my God, I'm very happy Ohio State didn't let those guys throw the ball more. It was rough to watch. And
because he was probably dealing with some of the same wind.
Yeah, I would imagine. I mean, and it was rough, and like that. Now you see this. There's a cut up of 2.5 minutes of Drew Aller throwing the ball to God.
Those were actually from last season, though. No, I mean,
so, like, I guess I understand now. Like, hey, maybe this wasn't the time to just let it all out there. And I think the interesting thing about what we saw at Ohio State on Saturday is there was a lot of discussion when Chip Kelly came in. This is Ryan Day's offense, and Chip Kelly's going to run Ryan Day's offense. And I'm not sure I buy that anymore. I really think that there are a lot of Chip touches here that are being implemented, and Chip has never had wide receivers like this, and I don't think we're going to see everything that he cooks up for those guys until the fall. Mm-hmm. So I think they were being intentional.
The master chef in the back.
Yeah, like, because he's never had these types.
He's still just looking around at the ingredients.
Yeah. There was a couple of plays. We had, like, maybe Jaden Ballard a couple times, like, getting the sprint going and just, you know, throwing the ball out to him.
They ran
a handoff to
the tight end. They ran two quarterbacks out there at the same time. Like,
it's like he sees the speed, and he's just like, all right, let's use it. Let's get these guys running.
Kind of weird.
Yeah.
It could be good.
It's interesting because you mentioned that, like, little jet is sweep type deal, which is something that we haven't seen in a while. That, you know, Urban ran that a ton. And that ability to get lateral in a hurry. Yeah. Chip wants to obviously get downhill, and that's a key when you're running the football. Get vertical. You want to get vertical, but you also, if you can stretch the field 53 yards, like, there's elements there that will make it very, very difficult for people to slow this offense down. And in doing that, it takes some pressure off of the offensive line when you're able to get horizontal like that, because you can't be nearly as aggressive because you have to defend the entirety of the field. And I felt bad because Gabe Powers missed that tackle on Ballard. I'm like, yeah, it's probably the fastest guy on the team. Yeah. So I'm not going to hold it against him because I thought Gabe played actually probably the best he's played in a while here at Ohio State. He's had a good spring and looks really good. And so I was like, I'm not going to hold that against him not being able to catch Jaden Ballard.
It's our fastest, like, one of our fastest guys out there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Let me ask you this, Bobby, as a linebacker. I thought CJ, obviously, it looked like he played his most comfortable football
Yep.
Sonny, obviously transitioning still into linebacker, but played well, as you said. Like, he's not hitting people like he's going to do in a game.
Those guys,
yeah. Gabe taking a step up. Arvell taking a step up. Obviously, Cody is entrenched as the guy in the middle. Do you think that this group has gotten significantly better because James is the full-time coach? Because last year, Jim was sort of divided, and James didn't have all the authority to make all the calls he wanted or do everything he wanted? Mm-hmm. Or is it just the natural progression of guys getting more veteran?
Well, I think natural progression of guys getting more veteran, but that has also been accelerated by probably more specific instruction from James. Like, those guys are all going to get better. They're going to get physically stronger. They've seen more. So you're just going to naturally improve a little bit. But I feel like the majority of that jump has come from James being in that room, putting those guys in unique positions, how he communicates, how he teaches things. It's been very impressive. Yep. And I love watching him do it. It's reminiscent to me of Luke Fickell and kind of his style. Obviously, James is his own person. But then also, you know, he kept those guys. Like, Sonny Style was in there in the second half.
Yeah, you know, like, CJ was in there with the fourth team.
Yeah,
at the end,
they've been rolling guys through, and it's like, you guys are all young. I mean, Cody Simon's the only one that's played a lot. Mm-hmm. The rest of you guys need to get reps, yeah. And you get reps to see things. You're going to make mistakes, and you know, you saw in the one touchdown run, you know, the gap closes. I think it was the A closes, the tackle pinches it off, it gets opened up. I think CJ maybe fell back trying to find open air, and that thing squirts through. And it's like, those are things you've got to learn to. Learn when to be aggressive, when maybe not to, and sometimes your eyes can deceive you a little bit, and so just being patient. There's a lot of stuff to potentially work through there, but I think James has been pretty happy overall with the development of those guys. He's coming in, I was like, all right, you've got Cody, and what else?
Yeah, I know freak athletes, but you know, can they go out there and make it happen?
That's why I've wondered what to make of this spring, because in the situations that we've watched CJ Hicks and Sonny Styles throughout camp, they have not been full live tackling, which is such... That's a pretty key component of the job. And I wonder if, like, in my mind, I'm just watching the way that those guys move. Like, well, compared to Tommy, like, Sonny's probably a much better athlete. Compared to Steele, CJ's probably a much better athlete. Yeah. What helped those guys was not the veteran experience, the knowledge of the system, and the being able to get those guys on the ground. And I'm not saying that to, like, temper any expectations for CJ Hicks or Sonny Styles. I'm just saying, well, I don't know. We still haven't seen them actually do that on a bunch of Saturdays in a row yet.
Yeah, the tackling, I mean, you can be the greatest defensive player in the world until the tackle. If you can't get guys on the ground, then it doesn't matter. So the coach can get you in position. You can work on tackling, but you ultimately have to be the one that gets them down. And James does that. They work on tackling a lot. I think it should be good. It won't be, was it 2 years, 3 years ago where they had, you know, bad tackling.
3 years ago.
Three years ago. It's not going to, their tackling is good. It is improving. You are what you emphasize. The way they work at it, I like it. They'll be fine.
I just wasn't sure from the perspective of a year ago, James was the de facto linebacker coach, but the voice still didn't carry the weight that it probably needed to.
The fight to maybe get Arvell Smith in the linebacker Arvell room Reese, as opposed right, to a yeah. defense, yeah, Arvell Reese, sorry, and as opposed to in the, you know, playing defensive end.
Yeah.
You know, like, he's going to be a guy that, you know, you look around, you start counting the guys. Like, he's the guy that's in, you know, top four or five guys, and he's going to need to get ready to play. Whereas if you're the defensive end right now, you start looking at all the guys they have there and all the talent. It's like, well, you can work at this, or we can work on pass rush and stuff in the summer. But to be good at linebacker, you can work on throwing in the summer, but you can't work on quarterbacking. Like, you can work on pass rushing, but you can't really work on, like, being a linebacker and playing off the ball, because you have to be able to see things that are happening and be able to react to them in front of you. You can work on specific traits with that. And so James, like, listen, let's get this kid in the spring and see what he can do. And he's looked very good. He's made some mistakes, but the athleticism is there, and he has been pretty adept at being able to improve.
But again, you're heading into a season where you are going to have Lathan Ransom and Caleb Downs behind those dudes, where – 2 years ago, I don't think you felt comfortable saying the linebackers couldn't make a mistake.
Yeah.
Because if you do, it's an 80-yard touchdown run. I don't think you have to worry about that as much this year, and I think that will free James up to be a little bit more creative with those guys and allow them to blitz, allow them to use their athleticism and do different things, and maybe take a few more risks where they have not done that in the last few years. Number one, because it's not the strength of Tommy or Steele. Number two, because you didn't have the security you felt that you needed at safety. Now you have it. So, like, I'm just struck rewatching this game. Like, this defense has every piece you could possibly need, and now you
and
have
then some.
Yeah, and then these linebackers, which were the question mark, are so next level athletically over what they had that I think it's like it went from being a real concern of mine heading into spring to now, like I don't have a single concern about the linebacker.
We got guys with the ability. I'm confident that James can be able to coach him up, and like they've improved dramatically.
And we didn't see Cody, who's obviously going to be the stalwart in the middle, who is going to allow you to.
Did
take
he play
some
at all? We play a couple.
He played early on,
but a couple like a series or two. Yeah,
you're going to be able to take risks with CJ and with Sonny and with Arvell because you know that you have Cody and those guys there, and like that is a real security blanket.
Do you think transfer portal season is upon us?
Is it open now?
Tomorrow? Well, I thought it was today. Everyone is making their grand announcements already.
Tuesday the 16th at midnight it opens.
So,
do you think there's anywhere that Ohio
State midnight
needs
tonight or midnight tomorrow? Tonight.
Midnight on Monday night. 12 a.m. Tuesday.
So about 12 hours from now. Countdown.
Oh boy. Berm has sleep tonight?
Berm has predicted a lot of, well, you said over 7.5, I believe.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of depth on the Ohio State team that is going to be very valuable around the country. And you can lose guys that are not going to hurt this team to lose them as much as they would help other teams to add them. And that said, like there are positions, and we never like go out of our way to name players individually or anything like that. It's just not how we do things.
I don't know, Berm.
That's not how we do things. You can do whatever you want. I'm not going to stop you. I was super annoyed on Sunday when I saw a local newscaster who played here go on Twitter and specifically say, I think Lincoln Keynote will be in the portal by Monday. Like, why would you do that?
Reckless and...
Like, it's so irresponsible. And if that had happened when that player was here, they would lose... they would lose their mind. And I don't understand. We're all... You know, you guys played here. You both work other media spots. Is there not anything sacred still amongst like the brotherhood?
People like guys.
It's all about clicks nowadays.
It is.
It pissed me off so bad on Sunday.
It's frustrating to see that because I'm never going to talk about. Like, I'm with you, but I was just joking. Like, you make it. Those are very personal decisions for guys, and there's a multitude of reasons. And could you see something like that happening? Possibly. Is it a probability? I don't think so at this point.
But anyone can look at the roster and say that there are 10 or 11 guys that it probably makes sense for their football career to make that decision. Now, there's still those 10 or 11 guys are going to have to weigh the opportunity of, hey, I have a chance to be a part of a national championship team. Hey, I have a chance to still learn how to play quarterback from Ryan Day for another year. And Lincoln Keenel specifically.
And Chip Kelly.
I'll mention him because that was brought up. He's only been on campus for 8.5 months.
Yeah. He didn't roll early.
To just assume that he is writing himself off or that he can't play here is ridiculous. BS. Like,
he's a Big Ten quarterback.
Yeah, like he's going to be good. He's going to win a lot of football games somewhere. And I don't care if he didn't look great on Saturday. No. He's been here 8.5 months.
Yeah.
Like we are losing our minds when it comes to accelerating the development path of these kids. Like that's this way before.
And Lincoln talked about it. He goes, it was never the plan for me to come in and play like year one or year two. Like there's a process that's gonna play out. So
I think it just goes to the way of college football now, right? We just expect, we have five quarterbacks, they're all really highly rated and pretty good. We expect somebody to just go leave and do
something. And that's fine. If someone wants to leave and that's the thing, there is a big difference. And I don't mean to keep rambling, but I think there's a huge difference between someone wanting to leave and someone thinking that maybe they need to leave. And that is a very big difference. And I'm telling you from conversations we've had doing the Buck Nines with all three of those quarterbacks in the last 3 weeks, Lincoln Keenholz, Devin Brown, and Will Howard, none of those guys want to leave Ohio State. That is a guarantee. Now, does that mean someone won't? Of course not. But the assumption that someone is like, I think what pisses me off the most is that there is a decision or an assumption that these guys are going to cut and run, like they're afraid. Like, you come to Ohio State because you know what it's about.
When they recruit those kids, right?
Right. You know what it's about. No one's afraid to compete. So if you sit around and you realize, hey, here comes Julian saying, maybe that does drive Lincoln to look a different direction. But I'm going to tell you, I don't feel that way from talking to him in the last couple weeks. Do you?
I feel like Devin Brown's going to transfer.
I mean,
burn the ships comment really did it for me.
Anything is possible. I mean, that's the whole point of the recruiting.
That's sarcasm, by the way.
Anything is possible.
I like this. This is Berm bantering. right here. This is this could be its own thing.
I know.
Lincoln, he's out there competing. Like, he's done some good things. He's struggled at times. You know, but
it's almost like he's in his first year.
He played
on campus
as a true freshman in a bowl game where he's getting his butt kicked.
The guy who's been on campus for 8 months, who basically made himself a sacrificial lamb in the Cotton Bowl, who after the spring game shows up at the Ohio State 4 miler on Sunday morning, 8:30 in the morning, is transferring the next day. Come on.
Yeah, that's another good point that he was out the 4 miler. Were you there, Berm?
No, I just saw it on Twitter. I was not. I was driving 120 miles back home.
That's good. Justin was there.
I was there. He ran the 4 miles.
Those poor runners out there in the wind.
It wasn't that windy. It wasn't that windy.
Well, I'll tell you this. I had the double stroller.
Yeah, so that's like
kite. At times, you're getting the uphill with the wind. Yeah. I was really leaning into it quite a bit.
I was out in the Marysville trade winds at the Ridge.
Tuesday, at the Ridge? I bet that was windy.
The worst conditions I've ever played at.
Yeah, that would not be fun.
At the
early season golf in the wind.
Yeah, that was not what I needed for the conference.
No, not at all.
Before we spin out here. Again,
is that what we're doing?
Is that what happens?
I know how this works. We're going to start to deviate. We're not going to sit here and bring up specific names of guys that could or
I was going to talk about positions that might be interesting.
What do they need? What do the Buckeyes need in the transfer portal is a much bigger and fairer question.
I would say, I mean, people talk about the running back, but I feel good about the four guys you have. If there's a guy out there that...
Plus Cat.
That's what I'm saying. If there's a guy that fits, that would make great sense. It's like a senior, come in, play a lot of ball.
It's not something you have to reach for.
Checks all the boxes.
A graduate transfer with Big Ten experience, maybe?
Yeah, maybe a guy that has like a unique skill set, like ultra speed, great receiver out of the back. Something that could give you something unique. And then maybe that we keep talking about the right side of the offensive line. That would be the only other area. I can't, for the life of me, think of someone else that you would want to bring in.
Caden Proctor's probably going to go back into the portal.
probably not. If there's an elite right tackle out there, get him.
Go get him.
Because I don't think that the regular comments that Ryan Day made in the last 10 days, Josh has played some guard, is on accident. It's to say, if we can find another right tackle,
we'll take a big guy.
We'll take someone. Yeah,
but it's got to be the right. I don't think they're bringing in just anyone.
No, it has to be a surefire starter, which is not easy to find at this point when you're Ohio State.
Ohio State caliber starter.
Right, so if you aren't finding that guy, then you stand pat.
It's like Nemo.
Right. Running back, I firmly expect that T.C. Caffey will be elevated to scholarship at some point. So you'll have your 5 scholarship backs, and now is that enough to suffice or to satisfy people who want?
How many scholarships? I mean, like, it's a one position room. Like,
people want. I think people want action for action's sake. Sometimes
might need three now. We saw that first play of the scrimmage.
I mean, if you're gonna run that, then you can bring in two or three more.
Now, to be fair, this is a position that the last several years has been
we've needed three or
ravaged
four
by injuries.
I understand
does need
that.
Three. So like. It's possible that getting to 5 may be important.
Now, what's likely
to
happen?
They may already have 5, so I agree with both of you.
If you lose 6 more players to the transfer portal, which I think is
you got to replace those guys.
A conservative, right? You need to replace them with depth. So you're not going to replace them with Ohio State level starters. And this is the way that I've been trying to do this, and it's a little bit of a recalibration, I think, from a roster building perspective. Nobody knows or gives a crap who the 4th string running back on the Cincinnati Bengals is. Okay. Like, nobody does.
Do they carry 4 in the league?
Some teams.
Nobody cares. So, like, after those first 65 players on this roster, I think you need to just prepare yourself that there's going to be a lot of rotation. Churn the depth. Churn. So you're going to be looking for depth to replace depth.
It's like apple butter.
Yeah, I really think that you have to view it in a different way than we've always done. And some of that's because recruiting allows us to get to know guys so well, and we know all their stories. Like, in the NFL. Because
of you, you're a great.
Yeah. But now, like
Tom Rinaldi over here.
Yeah. But now, like, what those guys do with their careers, I don't think people can be so personally invested in every single player's long-term result at Ohio State. Like, I think that there's the 2-deep, maybe even in some positions at Ohio State, the 3-deep. But how can you care that much about every, and this is not to say.
People care a lot, Berm.
I'm just saying, like,
that's one of the beauties of the Buckeyes.
It's not to suggest
8,000 people.
8,012.
It's not to suggest those players aren't important. It's to say that you aren't going to be able to maintain a roster every year where if someone at Ohio State is player 61 at Ohio State, he's going to be player 1 on 75 other teams in the country. Yeah. Like, that's a hard sell to say, hey, you know what? Stay here and don't play. That's difficult. That is, and I don't know, from a fan perspective, like that it's easy to swallow, but I think you almost have to start viewing it that way. No one cares when the Bengals cut their 54th player.
You gotta choke it down, Berm. That's what my mom would always say. I don't like this. You gotta choke it down.
Love your vegetables. Love them while they're here. Yeah. And
wish them well when they leave.
Wish them well when they go.
And then, like you said, the guys you're replacing them with are going to be more probably mid-level guys that are starters at other schools or coming in here to want to finish out. And as long as they're competent players, like, you feel good about it, but it's impossible, like you said. I understand why those guys, it's the receiver, it's the receiver room. Yeah. Like, there was great players come in, some guys are going to go somewhere else.
There was a visitor this weekend, I think, it was so innocuous that I'm not even sure if I'm getting the school right. I think he's from Cornell, like he's a grad transfer.
Yeah.
He's a visitor here this weekend. He's like a tight end.
We could use one
athlete guy. Like, he's not here visiting for no reason, so he's maybe looking to grad transfer and preferred walk. Like, that's going to be depth from now on. Like, it's not going to be the same as it used to be. You're not going to have 85 guys that can play for a team.
How do you feel about having, like, some of those older guys, Berman, not so many young dudes?
I think it's valuable, Bob. Experience matters.
But does it eat at you a little bit?
No.
Those are the guys that you got to know, Berm.
Yeah. I appreciate people who get a chance to live out their dream. And if there's some kid from Ohio who went to Cornell and did a whole nerd thing for 4 years and got a degree and he's all big red, cool. And then he gets to come home and wear an Ohio State uniform Andy for a Bernard. Season.
Let's go.
Like, that's awesome. So
he gave it away. It was the Nard Dog.
The Nard Dog.
Andy Bernard.
It was Andy Bernard.
Go big red. Well, that'll do it.
Sorry for all the talking.
Spinning out here at the end is Berman.
That's what we do.
Yeah, sorry for the talking on the podcast.
Portal sees, yeah. Portal.
I just didn't want to talk much more about golf and running because it feels like this is an important week.
Yeah.
Berman, pins and needles.
A lot's going to happen. The portal is, what, Tuesday to win?
2 weeks.
The end
two
of
weeks.
The month.
Gosh, that's a long portal.
That is a long portal.
How about this? You could be Oregon and be in your second week of practice.
Oh, I know.
Portal is open again in Ann Arbor, and their spring game is not till Saturday. So that'll be a fun week for them. Yeah. Who's going to actually show up?
The dumbest thing is that for grad transfers, it's one more day. It goes till May 1st. For everyone else, it's April 16th.
Well, for grad transfers, like, they could get in whenever
they want.
I know,
but why is it? Why do they even have to?
They don't. Suggest. That's why they're already in there on Monday.
But it says it's May 1st for them.
Okay. Well.
The walk-on should always be in the transfer
portal.
That is
advice that must be taken.
Why does a walk-on have to announce he's in the portal? If someone wants to put him on scholarship, it's free.
Well, it would be free for the program.
It's free for that person, it should be.
Do
what you like.
Spinning out is done, and spring camp is done at Ohio State
as well.
Eat
a cheese stick.
Thanks to Roosters and Nicole Cox for having us in here to talk about the Buckeyes with a fun, casual conversation at a fun, casual joint. That is Justin Zwick, Bobby Carpenter, Jeremy Birmingham. I'm Austin Ward. We'll see you back in here next Monday.